All right, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know how many of you know this. Jerry has just recently opened up a little shop in the same four walls as my shop. So we share a lot of time together during the week now, but I think this is the first time we've ever shared the platform together. So nice new change. So I call this message today the underdog message. Most of you that have opened a newspaper or turned on a TV or radio this past couple weeks probably know or have heard at one point or another that today is Super Bowl Sunday for the NFL. It's their biggest game of the year. This year we have the Philadelphia Eagles set to compete against the New England Patriots to see who's the champ this season. Patriots are the heavy favorites. They won last year. They've won more than any other team this past decade. They have the best coach, a first ballot Hall of Famer for quarterback, and they cheat better than anybody else. Seems like there's no possible way for the Eagles to win. So why play the game? Because, as they say, the game is played on the field, not on paper. There's always a chance. A fumble here, a sack there, a missed coverage, or just a well-designed game plan can sway the outcome of any game. The game has to be played before we can declare the final score. For the record, I'm cheering for Philadelphia. Who doesn't enjoy a good underdog story? Just look at the movies we watch. Rocky, Rudy, right? When we look at our own life, isn't that what we are? Underdogs? With the state that the world is in and has been in for far too long, the odds are not good for any one of us to finish strongly and obtain the ultimate prize of eternal life. In the past, I've spoken about atheism and its favorite doctrine, evolution. Satan has done a masterful job of convincing the world that evolution is a science that's loaded with facts, when in reality it's neither science or factual. It's probably Satan's favorite tool to use in his attempt to prevent others from coming to the Lord, because it offers false answers that don't involve God having a hand in your life. There are many that don't want to acknowledge that, so there is someone that has the ability to affect change in their lives more than they can, so they call God a fairy tale or an adult version of Santa. Let's look at Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And almost identical to that is Psalm 53:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 25. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. and Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We see in our world too, there's other options. It's not just evolutionary atheism. We have Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Baha'i, etc. There's plenty of options for those that are searching for different spirituality that doesn't include the Holy Spirit. They preach a different God or a different outcome at the end. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And in all, Exodus 23:13. And in all things that I have said unto you, be ye circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Deuteronomy 32:16-17. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Psalm 4:2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Psalm 97:7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. If all other methods fail, there's one more tactic that Satan uses in his arsenal to pull those searching for Christ away. I call it near Christianity. Things like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Satan's favorite choice, Catholicism, considered by the world to be Christianity. These cults deceive people into thinking they have found Christ, when sadly they are following their cult leaders to hell. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then my favorite one here, 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I find this last one particularly interesting, a verse, because it's an epistle written to the church. Catholic cathedrals are loaded with idols, and there's a nice big solid gold one on the top of Mormon temples. How do Mormons and Catholics explain this verse away? With all these roadblocks that have been thrown in a person's way of finding the truth, it's easy to see why only a few people find the way. But everyone has a chance. We are the ultimate underdogs. But there's hope. There's always hope. No matter how bleak the situation, how deeply rooted you seem to be in atheism, false religion, or a pseudo-Christian cult, there's a way to find the Lord. It's not a difficult step either. How do you find him? You look. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and its righteousness, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is the law of the this is of the law and of the prophets. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for fish, give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? John 6, 37 to 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Acts 17, 26 and 27. Hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a lot of scripture, so I figure it does a better job of proving the point than I ever would. Based on the beginning of the message, I'm sure that most of you would assume that this message was inspired by the fact that Super Bowl is being played today. It happened to be a nice coincidence, nothing more. The story that made me think about bringing you this message about beating the odds was the story of Madeline Murray O'Hare and her family. Some of you know who she is already, some of you don't. What she's most famous or infamous for is a 1963 Supreme Court ruling she won, which effectively removed the Bible from the U.S. school system. She is also the founder of the American Atheists Organization and American Atheist Magazine. She had two sons, William J. Murray III and John Garth Murray, whom she raised to be atheists. John ended up succeeding her as president of the American Atheists, though she still pulled the strings behind the scenes, until both Madeline and John were murdered in 1995, along with her granddaughter Robin. They were killed by a member of their own organization. Her son William was not present. The reason for this is because he sought the Lord and he found him. This is a few portions of an article that he wrote about his family in 1999. My mother, brother, and daughter were murdered by fellow atheists. First, I want to talk to you about spiritual matters that the general media does not understand. My mother was not just Madeline Murray O'Hare, the atheist leader. She was an evil person who led many to hell. That is hard for me to say about my own mother, but it's true. When I was a young boy of 10 or 11 years old, she would come home and brag about spending the day in X-rated movie theaters in downtown Baltimore. She was proud of the fact she was the only woman in the movie house watching this filth. My mother's whole life circulated around such things. She even wrote articles for Larry Flint's pornographic magazine Hustler. My mother lived in spiritual death, as Paul writes. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. 1 Timothy 5:6. My mother delighted in hiring unrepentant criminals to work for her in her atheist office. She particularly enjoyed hiring convicted murderers who had served their time but were unrepentant about what they had done. She got a sense of power out of having men in her employ who had taken human life. It was the love of power over people that finally caused not only her own death, but the deaths of my brother and my daughter. For 20 years, I could not talk to my brother. He would hang up the phone or tear up my letters and send them back. Same was true of my daughter. They both called me traitor because I had accepted Christ and changed my life. By traitor, they meant that I no longer followed the absolute direction of my mother as they did. I must admit that toward the end, I had lost hope for my mother's conversion. The last 10 years of her life, she had become even more profane and vulgar as the demons she courted got their final hold on her. The media stopped courting her because of the number of profane words she would use, which they had to edit out. My hopes and prayers remain for my brother and my daughter. I honestly believe that nature would take its course and that my mother would die naturally, leaving them behind. In my heart, I believe that without her constant evil influence, they would start to move toward the light of God. I had even written letters to John and Robin that I had planned on sending them when my mother died. Those letters will never be mailed, nor will they be read, because they died with her. My mother was an evil person. Not for removing prayers from America's schools. No, she was just evil. She stole huge amounts of money. She misused the trust of people. She cheated children out of their parents' inheritance. She cheated on her taxes and even stole from her own organizations. She once printed up phony stock certificates on her own printing press to try and take over another atheist publishing company. I could go on, but I won't. All the money my mother made in this manner stayed behind. It did not go with her, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7. My mother simply believed, "Do what thou wilt shall be the only law." Both my brother and my daughter believed in my mother's importance because she declared it constantly. Many times a day, my mother would declare, "I am Madeline Murray O'Hare." She honestly believed she had single-handedly removed prayer from school. She honestly believed she had liberated America sexually. In reality, my mother did not create the times created her. She was what America was about in the 60s and 70s. There were several cases going to the Supreme Court to remove prayer. Her case just got there first. The left-wing court of the day wanted prayer out of the schools and to allow abortion on demand. They virtually were advertising for cases to change America, but my mother saw the secular and sexual turn in America as centered around her. I can see her now looking down the barrel of a gun and saying, "You don't dare shoot me. I am Madeline Murray O'Hare." Of course, the killers did not care who she was, just as most Americans didn't care. To the majority of Americans and to the media, she was just another celebrity fruitcake, sort of the Hulk Hogan of atheism. The media asked me if I would hold a funeral, and if so, would there be prayer? My answer was simple but biblical and sort of surprised them, I am sure. I said, "They are already in either heaven or hell. Praying over them will not make a difference." I made that statement knowing the torture they must have gone through the last 30 days of their lives. Did Robin pray to receive Christ as she was bound and gagged? Perhaps. Did my mother or brother cry out to the Lord just before they were murdered? I don't know. Christ is there for the vilest offender. The serial killer whose prayer at the hour of his death is genuine is also forgiven. My mother, my brother, and my daughter may well wait me in heaven. On the other hand, they may have stood their ground defying God to the end, in which case they are now spending yet another day of eternity in hell. If that's the case, I will never see them again. The deaths of my mother, brother, and daughter should make all too clear the need for Christ to others that proclaim atheism, But those who would follow my mother continue to fight against God and his authority. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:8. During Easter, what is left of my mother's American Atheist organization held a convention in New Jersey. My ministry placed an advertisement in the newspaper there to tell them about Jesus. The new atheist leader, Ellen Johnson, ranted and raved against me, against Christ, and against the Holy Spirit. Johnson told the media that the whole idea of my mother being murdered was a fabrication. She told the newspapers that I had manufactured the story using my connections to Congress to trick the FBI into getting involved. Why does this woman protest so much? Why does she not even shed a tear for her departed leader? The FBI is involved because one of the individuals has confessed. How many others he will point the finger at, I don't know. But I do understand the wisdom of Ellen Johnson. Her wisdom is found in Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Please continue to pray for my ministry and for my family. This is a difficult time. The news media calls day and night about my mother. The FBI even offered to provide a counselor for my wife, Nancy, and me. I said, no, thank you. I told the agent, my family already has a counselor, the great counselor, Jesus Christ. And that's just excerpts from his story. If God can work in the life of a person like William Murray, with the odds stacked against him in such an extreme manner as his was, he can reach anyone. We need to realize that God doesn't care about odds. He cares about us. Let's be ready to lend a hand to those we come across in our lives that are seeking God. I'm going to leave you with 1 Peter chapter 3, 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Dad, could you close the message in prayer?
Father, we thank thee for thy love to us, and we, of course, are recipients of that. Odds against of being saved, having been involved in Mormonism and atheism ourselves. We thank thee, Lord, that the gospel of grace is sent to all the world, that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank thee for this message this morning, and once again ask thee to go with us, guiding and directing our paths and the words that we speak. For we ask it in our Savior's name as we give him thanks.